This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We begin with a first for the Massachusetts judicial system. Today in Haverhill District Court, 18-year-old Aaron DeVoe was convicted of motor vehicle homicide for texting while driving. It's the first such conviction since state legislatures passed a distracted driving law in 2010.
According to testimony, DeVoe was driving on River Street in Haverhill last February when he crossed the center line and collided with a car driven by Donald Bowley of Danville, New Hampshire. The 55-year-old father of three died from his injuries a couple of weeks later.
David Frank of the Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly has been following the trial and joins us now. David, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So let's talk first about the scene in court today. Apparently, over the course of 2 days, the jury deliberated for just over 4 hours total before delivering that guilty verdict. So what does that sort of quick deliberation tell us?
You know, I'm always hesitant to read too much into that kind of stuff, but at the end of the day, I'm not shocked by the 4 hours. The issue in this case was really sort of limited to whether or not the teenager was texting at the moment that he ended up causing the death that occurred in the case. So it was a relatively straightforward question that really didn't require that much time. It was just a question of whether the jury thought he was texting, and if they did, which obviously today's verdict suggests, then the conviction would be warranted.
Now, was that at any point in time in dispute? I mean, I understand that Aaron DeVoe, the defendant, actually took to the stand in his own defense and basically said he didn't remember texting while driving.
Yeah, and now, I mean, anytime a defendant takes a stand in a criminal case, it's a game-changing type moment, and clearly that testimony was, you would have to imagine, was a big part of the deliberation. But it was disputed, because we do know, notwithstanding the testimony that you just referenced, that the defense, I think, appropriately so, made the argument that unless the prosecution can put the cell phone in the driver's hand at the moment of the death, they cannot convict for motor vehicle homicide.
So, I see. So they were able to determine that texts were sent, but it's not sure who had the phone at the time.
And not sure that at the actual moment that the fatality occurred, that there was texting going on, because you could have texted 40 seconds prior to the incident and not have it be the cause of the death. The defense was arguing that they have to show that the driver, that in this case DeVoe, was actually texting at the very moment that the death occurred, that it was the cause of death.
I see.
So that was a disputed fact.
Well, nevertheless, the jury, as we're discussing, handed down a guilty verdict, and I understand that DeVoe apologized to the victim's family today following that verdict, but also that Judge Stephen Albany has imposed a sentence. What did he sentence Aaron DeVoe to?
It's a split sentence, and I'll try to break it down in plain English. Essentially, DeVoe does a year in jail, and when he gets out, he'll have another year and a half hanging over his head, so to speak, that he'll be on probation for a period of time, and if he were to violate the terms of his probation, he would be sentenced to serve a remaining 18 months in jail. So as of today, he begins a one-year jail sentence. He will get time off for good behavior, but he was sentenced to a year in jail, and then he'll be on a period of probation, under which time, if there's a violation, he'll go back.
Now, in choosing that sentence, did Judge Albany say that he was trying to send some kind of message to drivers out there?
Well, it's complicated, and you certainly can infer that that's one of the goals that the judge had in sentencing. But when a judge imposes a sentence in a criminal case, and a lot of judges will tell you it's the hardest thing that they have to do on the job, they have to take into account a bunch of different factors: a defendant's record or lack thereof, the sentiments of the victim's family, the need for a deterrent, all those kind of things that go into play. But there's no question that one of the consequences of this case and of this conviction is that a message has been sent to citizens in Massachusetts that if you get behind the wheel of a car and if you cause an accident that's based on your texting, and in a worst case scenario, if you kill someone as a result of texting, the punishment will be severe, because a year in jail for a driver who is 17 years old with no record is a significant sentence. This is not a slap on the wrist for anyone who's familiar with sentencing.
David, a couple questions along those lines in terms of what this says about how law enforcement is viewing texting while driving or will view it. I mean, one of the things that DeVoe was convicted or charged and convicted on is negligent operation causing bodily injury due to electronic messaging. That's essentially a relatively new charge. Is this? Do you get a sense that this is the line of prosecution that law enforcement may continue to follow in the future in cases like this?
You know, it's a good, fair question, but I don't think this is going to sort of open the door or start a trend of more charging, because at the end of the day, it's really hard to prove these kind of cases. And unless you have the right case, and unless you have a case where someone died as a result of texting or someone suffered a serious bodily injury as a result, the bottom line is the prosecutors really aren't going to spend the resources to investigate these cases. In order to get a conviction, you have to go out and grab the cell phone records. You have to then compare those records to the work that's done at the scene. You have to work it out with the accident reconstructionist. It's a very complicated case to put together, and unless it's the right case, I don't think you're going to see the police and the prosecutors really able to put the kind of resources into it that it would require.
I mean, this is a tragic case because someone did lose their life. But overall, I understand that law enforcement actually hasn't been handing out that many tickets for texting while driving, roughly one for every 200 speeding tickets. Is there Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's true, and I've talked to police and prosecutors about it. Because think about it. Let's say you're driving down the Mass Pike, and a police officer sees you putting your finger on the phone. How does the police officer know that you're not making a phone call or that you're not, flipping over on a call waiting? It's very difficult to just tell, looking into someone's car, whether they're texting or using the phone. And if you can't say definitively, the officer can't say definitively that they know the driver was texting, then you're going to really raise questions about whether you even have grounds to make a stop of the car. And so I think the police will tell you that their hands have been tied in a lot of ways in terms of properly investigating. And I think that's why there have been so few incidents where we hear about drivers getting brought in on texting charges.
David Frank is the reporter for Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly. David, always great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Have a good one.